Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 2nd of August, recording at 9:28 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights today, and it was a bit of a bloodbath in stock markets, less so in Asia. The ASEAN markets were mostly just quietly steady. Although Singapore came off a bit, the China sector had some falls of a little over 1%. Australia down 1.4%. Japan down 1.2%. The heavier selling occurred in the European stock market indices. Switzerland's SMI down 4%. That's the biggest one I see. Spain and Italy, which have been getting hammered, were down over 2% each. Moving on to the Americas, Brazil, it's all down more than 2%, with the exception of Canada. Canada's down 1.5%. Brazil's down over 2%. Mexico's down 2.5%. The NASDAQ Composite's down 2.75%, the S&P down 2.5%, and the Dow down 2.19%. Not nice. And in the bond markets, we had pretty strong gains, particularly in the U.S. Treasuries. The long bond has been hovering around the 2.0. Up level for futures prices, and pretty much all bond markets have been moving higher in here, to my chagrin. In currencies, the dollar, well, now it's swung around a little bit. The US dollar index is actually up a little bit. The euro is a bit weaker. Pounds about unchanged, but the Australian dollar fell in here today, and the Canadian dollar was a little bit weaker. The Aussie's come back down to below 108, 107.94 as I speak, and the Swiss franc is rampant in here. The US dollar is down to 0.7655. In precious metals, gold and silver soared. Gold is, as I speak, is up $37.50. That's taken it up to a new high at $16.56 and change. Silver is up over $1.40. It puts it at $40.72. Palladium actually down a wee bit, platinum up $1 as I speak. We're still getting some after-hours trading in here. Industrial metals were mostly lower, not hugely. I mean, copper is down 2.75 cents in here today, down to 438.25. Tin, I believe, had the biggest decline in the industrial metals. Crude oil, Brent, it's down to 116. WTI has fallen more. It's at down 145. It's at 93.44. Natural gas down. Lumber looks like it's limit down. Cotton was up, although off its highs. Grains and beans very strong, particularly corn and wheat. Corn looks like it's up 30 cents, 7.1534. That might have been a limit up. And wheat up to 7.58. Those are both upward dynamics. They were all strong, although less so for rough rice and soybeans. Sugar looks like it's sugar is lower in here, so that's pretty much it in the commodities. So, what have we got going on here? Well, fear is really taking hold. That's clear to see, and we were getting well, in terms of stock markets first, the technical action first. For the stock markets, it had actually been doing quite well, such as the USA, Germany, but the action has been very bad since last Wednesday. Now, my goodness, that's only a week, but these are big hits in here. And the S&P, I talked about the importance of those June lows. The S&P's plunged nearly 100 points in here, getting back down towards that 1250 area to test the March and the June lows. And given the weak action, I would be surprised if we saw more than temporary steadying near those levels, if that. So I'm afraid that afraid I have to say that any kind of best case scenario, which we had described months ago, best case scenario was that we would see a reversion to the mean by most of these indices in a lengthy consolidation corrective phase. Well, they're breaking those levels. The S&P's done that here today. The Nasdaq hasn't yet, but it certainly came down with a thump last Wednesday and a big downside follow through here today. too many markets show top formation characteristics, eroding support. The MAs will be rolling over now and turning down. The ASEAN sector has been an amazing holdout, but it can't do it on its own, not against this background. And it's and investors are nervous, going to be nervous tomorrow, needless to say. Now, capitulation. Sentiment is such a important factor here in markets, and sentiment can deteriorate quickly, and sentiment is often fragile at the best of times, except in runaway uptrends. You've got very strong confidence sentiment right now in gold and silver, and it will be interesting to see how long that lasts. But let me go back to the stock markets. In terms of my, I mostly talked about best case, worst case scenario, and as did Owen, and we mentioned this over months in the audios. Worst case that I outlined was that we would get what I described as probably a short, sharp bear market. Now that looks very much on the cards. And I hope that's the extent of it, but it's impossible to know. I, in all honesty, all I can do is, I mean, I've been commenting on this deterioration in here, and I can only monitor the technical action because the question as to how far really depends on how much. Or it depends on the extent to which investors actually take flight. And it also depends on the speed or not, or otherwise, of any response in here in terms of monetary authorities. Now, they're usually crisis oriented, so I wouldn't expect any quick effort to come in and to head this off. So I think it's not until they see some frightening capitulation selling. And capitulation selling is always is always frightening, even if you're short. Capitulation selling is frightening, because it all takes place place so quickly. Now, we certainly know there are plenty of things for people to worry about. I don't need to review all that. And we had new highs on those Italian bond yields in here today. And for several weeks I've been saying you can almost set your agenda on the basis of how they actually perform, because that's been one of the dominant themes, and it remains a major worry. The weakness of the U.S. economy and other economies remains a major worry. Now, one fear that I think is going to go away, I suspect, but it depends if I'm overreacting and it's all hunky-dory tomorrow, then I reassess. But I don't think that's likely given this type of action. But one of the fears that I think will dissipate fairly quickly is the are the inflation fears. Again, we'll have to see on that. In terms of response to forecasts of slower growth, and I think you know my view. I've said ever since we had the commodities flare up earlier in the year, and I think most of them reached their highs, or many of them reached their highs to date around that April period, including crude oil. But as they were pushing up, the commodities, one of the best themes, also becoming the next big problem, and the problem arrived, and crude oil's been high for much too long. So that's done damage. So I've seen that too many times in the past, going right back into the 1970s, and that causes slower growth and recession if it's sharp enough of a spike. And that's also going to, I've been cautious, and I mentioned it again last night, I'm cautious on the corporate profits here, because corporate profits have been amazing. But largely due to the success of these many of these multinational companies and the productivity increases that we've seen, mostly via laying people off, but also technology, cutting waste wherever possible. So corporations have been running a tight tight ship, lean, and they've benefited from that. But I can't see how corporate profits cannot disappoint here when we see the results for the remainder of the year. So again, we're still in this corrective phase. It's tipped very much in the direction of worst case scenario. I am expecting what I hope is just a short, sharp bear market, as rather than something, when I say what I hope, rather than something worse than that. And we'll call it as we see it in here. And I will be thinking about what to do with some of my cash in that environment. Now, what about these bonds? Well, I am very surprised to see the strength of these U.S. treasuries and also the gilts. I mean, the patterns did firm up, and they've just kept going up. And I mean, markets are full of surprises, and this is certainly certainly surprised me. And some of these trends, treasuries, and the gilts that I just mentioned, these trends are actually beginning to accelerate. And I would really, I mean, people are rethinking bonds in here against this background, understandably. My hunch is that my long-term script is still going to be right in here, just be of a very lengthy, rangy, long base formation for these yields. The other script that some people will certainly be talking about, and maybe a little bit more vocally, will be, is this going the Japanese way? Well, not if Mr. Bernanke has his way, and I think QE, as he certainly will, and I think that QE3 may not be called that, but I think it's a given. It's just when they actually kick this off. Again, governments are crisis oriented in here, so it may be, but he may start something on a slow, steady basis. But I'm not looking for any massive QE3 rescue in here, the way you could say we had with QE2. So that's pretty much it on the stock markets and the bonds. But looking at those bond charts, I think they're accelerating up to peaks, and then we'll start coming off those bond prices. So yields spiking downwards back towards some of their previous lows, where I would expect support to be encountered. And the U.S. dollar, is it going to rebound in here? Well, it's certainly not the safe haven that it used to be, but a number of people have been short, and so it may rebound on some short covering. That's one possibility. There's active talk of intervention to weaken the yen. I think that would certainly be justified, but the Bank of Japan governor, whose name eludes me at the moment, has been hanging tough on that point. And I've mentioned before that the yen is almost the last remaining virility symbol here in the markets for Japan. Gold. Well, I bought a little bit more in here today after the bungling of my stop positions and tactics there over the weekend. Big move to the upside in here today, as you know. Currently showing at up $39 at 1658. It's ahead of schedule, as you know. And normally we get this ranging quiet period in the July-August period. Not always, but that's been the pattern more often than not. And then start a run in August. But this certainly is a run in here right now. The big question in my mind, and I like gold a lot, although it's I regard it and have for most of my career as a monetary asset, hard money or old money. Now, is it going to continue to move up like this? Well, it depends on the degree of capitulation selling that we see in equities. And again, I think a template in terms of real panic from 2008 showed that gold got clobbered. It fell less than everything else, but that was a small consolation for those who wrote it down. I would expect gold to fall less than just about anything if it does fall. in here, and I don't know on that, but my feeling is that gold bulls, particularly in the futures markets and a lot of the big trading houses, the Goldman Sachs and JP Morgans, I do think that they would turn bearish here just based on historic precedent, were we to see real capitulation selling in equities. So one does need to bear that in mind overall. The silver lining, if we get the worst case scenario, as I now think is quite likely, of the short sharp bear market, and hopefully it stops there. The silver lining on that is one, if you've got some cash, and I hope you do, that does create another a good buying opportunity. Number two, it does a reset. It sets a reset button on some of these commodity prices, particularly the industrial commodity prices, but we're not there yet. So really we're going to have to deal with this with a rapid reappraisal on the part of many investors around the globe who had been relatively relaxed, and it's all down to a question of the extent to which they actually keep their nerve. So, not pretty today. More interesting than I would actually like. I hope I've reported it objectively and in a way that was easy to take on board my thoughts. All the best.